We're going to turn to Psalm chapter 67. It'll be our text for this evening. Just a number of weeks ago this summer, my family and I were down vacationing in southern New Jersey and having a phenomenal week, enjoying the beach and water parks and amusement parks. And one night we were at the amusement park, and standing there watching my kids enjoy the rides that they're going on. And all of a sudden, over the speakers, a song came across the speakers that I guess was popular when I was around 15 to 16 years old, which, believe it or not, was over 20 years ago. I know that's kind of hard to believe, but quite a while ago. And what happened? The tune started to play, the words started to flood my memory, and I just burst out in song, much to my kids' embarrassment, as you can imagine. And it was just instantaneous. That song that I listened to decades ago just immediately came back to mind, came back. I started singing it. And, you know, it is interesting how, no matter how much it embarrasses them, it really doesn't change my behavior too much. But enjoyed there belting out that song. And it kind of struck me as I was thinking about, what we're going to be discussing tonight, how music is powerful. I mean, I'm sure many of you have had similar experiences, songs from your childhood maybe that you still know every word to. It has a way of soaking in to your being. Well, tonight, what we're going to be looking at is a song. And a psalm, a divinely inspired song that was written for the public worship of God. And it was written in such a way that the people of God would memorize it. They would meditate on it so that it would soak in, so that it could be brought back to memory. This could be why, for what's recorded for us in the Gospels, why the book of Psalms is actually the book of the Bible that Jesus quotes the most. So we know that Jesus was very familiar with the Psalms, very familiar with these songs that were given to us for the worship of God. But we know also that these songs that we have in front of us in the book of Psalms are not just for the nation of Israel, but they are also for us. Paul, in his letter to the Ephesians and to the Colossians, said that we are to be singing to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. So, this, the book of Psalms, is the songbook of the Israel of God. This is the church's songbook. And what we're going to be looking at tonight is not just a song, it's also a prayer. So this is our song. This is our prayer. This is a prayer for the church. So let's read this together, Psalm chapter 67. You can see here the instructions to the choir master with stringed instruments, a psalm, a song. May God be gracious to us and bless us and make his face to shine upon us, that your way may be known on earth, your saving power among all nations. Let the peoples praise you, O God. Let all the peoples praise you. Let the nations be glad and sing for joy, for you judge the peoples with equity and guide the nations upon earth. Let the peoples praise you, O God. Let all the peoples praise you. The earth has yielded its increase. God, our God, shall bless us. God shall bless us. Let all the ends of the earth fear him. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word, and we thank you for this time that we can study it, Lord, and we need your Spirit. Lord, I pray that you would send your Spirit to guide us into truth, and also that your Spirit would empower us, would grant us grace to live by the truth that we see tonight. I pray in Jesus' name, amen. As we consider this song together tonight, I want us to see three things. I want us to see the prayer for blessing, the purpose of blessing, and the promise of blessing. The prayer for blessing found in verse 1. May God be gracious to us and bless us and make his face to shine upon us. Now you're probably sitting there saying, that sounds familiar. And maybe some of you might say, yeah, that sounds kind of like what Pastor Clark at the end of a service, when he's giving the benediction, he's raising his hands. What is that? Where is that from? Well, the answer is Numbers chapter 6. And this is the priestly blessing. This was the blessing that God gave to Moses to give to Aaron and his sons to bless the people of Israel. He said, thus you shall bless the people of Israel. You shall say to them, the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. So shall they put my name upon the people of Israel, and I will bless them. So the psalmist takes this priestly blessing, incorporates it into his prayer, into the song, and starts off with, kind of breaks it up into three parts, and I just want to look at this, unpack it a little bit for us tonight. He says, be gracious to us. May God be gracious to us. This is, very easily, that word gracious could be translated as merciful. You go to Psalm 57:1, it's exactly the same word, and it says, be merciful to me, O God, be merciful. What is this a prayer for? It is a prayer for God to forgive our sins, to have mercy on us. Fundamentally, at the outset of this prayer of blessing, is this recognition that our sins make a separation between us and God. Our sin gets in the way of blessing. You can see that clearly in Deuteronomy chapter 28. Blessing, this is a fundamental principle in God's word. Obedience leads to blessing. Disobedience leads to curse. And so we see here, right at the outset of this prayer, is a prayer for God to be gracious to us, to be merciful, to forgive us of our sins. And then he says, may God be gracious to us and bless us. And included in this prayer is not just spiritual blessing, but also physical blessing. I know this is can sometimes make us a little nervous here, but this is absolutely what is being prayed for here, a prayer that God would provide for his people, that he would bless them with physical goods. Leviticus 26 says, God speaking to his people, says that if you walk in my statutes and observe my commandments and do them, then I will give you your rains in their season, and the land shall yield its increase, and the trees of the field shall yield their fruit. So the psalmist here, again, this is our song, our prayer, is praying that God would be gracious to us, forgive our sins, and bless us, that he would send the rain, that the ground would yield its increase, that he would provide for them. It's an acknowledgement of our dependence upon God as the creator and sustainer of all things. So prayer for him to be gracious to us, to bless us, but then also to make his face shine upon us. Have you ever wondered what that meant? A prayer to God to make his face shine upon us. You good Presbyterians, I know you know you're the Westminster Confession of Faith. What does it teach us about God? It says that God is a most pure spirit, invisible, without body, parts, or passions. So what is this prayer for God to make his face shine upon us? Well, I think what was really helpful is Deuteronomy chapter 31. This is right before Moses is going to die, and God is telling him what's going to happen down the road. He said, this people will rise and whore after the foreign gods among them in the land that they are entering, and they will forsake me and break my covenant that I have made with them. Then my anger will be kindled against them in that day, notice this, and I will forsake them and hide my face from them, and they will be devoured. And many evils and troubles will come upon them, so that they will say in that day, have not these evils come upon us because our God is not among us? And I will surely hide my face in that day because of all the evil that they have done, because they have turned to other gods. So God hiding his face from us means that he is not among us, that he is not with us, that his favor is not upon us, that our sins have separated us from him so that he doesn't hear. So making his face shine upon us, a prayer for that would be the exact opposite. It would be a prayer that God would be with his people. It's a prayer for his presence, a prayer for God's favor to be upon us, and furthermore, it's a prayer for his spirit. We see this connection in Ezekiel 39. God says, I will not hide my face anymore from them when I pour out my spirit upon the house of Israel, declares the Lord God. So a prayer for God to be gracious to us, forgive our sins, to bless us both spiritually and physically, to provide for our needs, but also make your face shine upon us. Yesterday, we were outside, a beautiful day, and my kids were outside riding their bikes. And it brought back to my mind when my kids were first learning how to ride their bike. I'm sure many of you have had that experience, a wonderful joy. It takes a while, there's a struggle, and then eventually you kind of give them that push and off they go. And they ride for a little bit and then they stop their bike. What do they immediately do? Look back at you, right? Look at you. And what do we do as parents? Do we stand there stone-faced and say, well, you're certainly no Lance Armstrong or something like that? He's the only cyclist I know, so I had to use his name. No, we smile. And that smile, when we smile at them, they know that we are pleased with them. And that becomes their joy. Charles Spurgeon said that a prayer for God, that he would shine his face upon us, is a prayer for a smile from God's face. Is that your prayer? That you would live your life in such a way that would bring a smile to God's face? Is that your prayer, our prayer for this church? That in everything that we're doing in this church, every ministry, every activity, our interactions with one another, that it would be pleasing to our Father, that it would bring a smile to his face, that his face would shine upon us. I also think this is a key, you know, and maybe you're here tonight and you're experiencing this, where you're feeling beaten down, kind of, you know, as you're living life in this world, maybe enduring or encountering some tribulation, some persecution. How do you deal with that? What is one way, what is a key way to get through tribulation, persecution in this world when it seems like everybody, this world around you, is all frowning at you? I would say, suggest to you tonight, it's knowing that if you are walking faithfully with your God, that he is smiling down upon you, that his face shines upon you. That is the way that we can endure and get through these moments of tribulation and persecution. So we see this prayer for blessing, but there is a purpose to this blessing. So we see that in verse 2. So again, verse 1, may God be gracious to us, bless us, make his face to shine upon us, that your way may be known on earth, your saving power among all nations. What is this way? So the purpose of blessing is to make known the way of the Lord, that it may be known on the earth, to make known his saving power. What is this way? If you want a very rich study this week, go and start searching through the Bible on the way of the Lord. Just even that one word search, you can study the word way. It's a very rich study. But what is this way that we're to make known, this salvation? Well, Psalm 77, I think, gives us a clue. If you turn over there, you know, real quick, Psalm chapter 77. Asaph here is struggling. He's saying, is God, has his steadfast love ceased, or his promises at an end? And then in verse 10, he says, I will appeal to this, to the years of the right hand of the Most High. I will remember the deeds of the Lord. Yes, I will remember your wonders of old. I will ponder all your work and meditate on your mighty deeds. Your way, O God, is holy. What God is great like our God? You are the God who works wonders. You have made known your might among the peoples. You with your arm redeemed your people, the children of Jacob and Joseph. When the waters saw you, O God, when the waters saw you, they were afraid. Indeed, the deep trembled. The clouds poured out water, the skies gave forth thunder. Your arrows flashed on every side. The crash of your thunder was in the whirlwind. Your lightnings lighted up the world. The earth trembled and shook. Your way was through the sea, your path through the great waters. Yet your footprints were unseen. You led your people like a flock by the hand of Moses and Aaron. So how are we to understand this way that we are to make known on the earth? Well, I would say Psalm 77 tells us that his way really is combined, you know, looks at his works, his deeds, his wonders. I think a great way to describe it is his covenant dealings, specifically seen in the salvation and the redemption of his people. Again, his covenant dealings. And so Psalm 66, right before this chapter, we can see it again where it says, come see what God has done. He is awesome in his deeds toward the children of man. He turned the sea into dry land. They passed through the river on foot. So here's what I want you to do. I want you to think about if you were an Israelite at the time that this psalm was given to the people of God, and here you're singing this song out to God, saying, Lord, that may God be gracious to us, bless us, make his face to shine upon us, that your way may be known on earth, your saving power among all nations. What would be that story that you would tell people as you came encounter, or as you came in touch and encountered people from the nations that surrounded you? Well, I think it would probably go something like this. You would tell them that, hey, we were standing on the shore of the Red Sea. Our enemy was closing in behind. Before us was a certain death if we tried to cross that sea on our own. Death before, death behind, trapped. Nothing we could do. Completely hopeless situation. But our God made a way. He parted the waters right in front of us. And we walked, his way was through the sea. We walked through the sea, not sloshing around in mud, but on dry ground. The waters on either side of us. And he brought us safely across. And we watched. We stood silent and watched as he completely vanquished our enemies. And now we're in a place of safety with the promised land before us. Nations would hear that. And what would their response be? They would hear that news. They would fear. I think the prayer would be that they would fear the God of Israel. And that they would believe, resulting in, as we have seen in this psalm, praise to his name. Well, remember, this is our song. Right? Not just theirs. This is our song, too. This is our prayer. So that means we have a story to tell. We are to make known this way to the world around us. We are to say, come and see what God has done. Come and hear, and I will tell you what he has done for my soul. So what is the way that we, do we make known to this world around us the how the Israelites crossed the Red Sea? We now have a more fuller understanding of the way of the Lord, of his salvation. And so our story that we tell this world around us is that, yes, we too were in the clutches of our enemy, facing a most certain eternal death. And if you will allow, standing on the shore of the lake of fire. And we had nothing, absolutely nothing that we could do about it. Hopeless, but God made a way. His way was through his son. His way was through the cross. That on the cross, Jesus paid the full price of our sins. He rose from the dead. He completely vanquished our enemies. He has brought us to a place of safety, like we read about in Ephesians 1 earlier, that we are blessed with every blessing in the spiritual place, in the heavenly places in Christ, and that we have the promised land before us. Question for you tonight, one question is this your story? If you heard that and you say, no, I can't say that's my story, I would say to you, look to Jesus. He is the way. Believe in him and you will be saved. If this is your story, then kind of the question I'd like to follow up with there is, do you love to tell the story like we just sung about? The purpose of this blessing is to make his way known, his salvation known. The purpose is to make Christ known to this world around us, that all the ends of the earth would hear and fear God and believe and praise him. It's interesting to see the things that people are passionate about making known to others. You ever find that? Like their favorite sports team might be their favorite TV show. I can't tell you how many business dinners I've been at where it's just been a conversation about Netflix and different shows that are on and how everybody has to watch the shows that other people are watching. I think one very obvious one is that I run into a lot is the latest diet craze. I'm not sure how many of you guys hear that. We were with our family again this past summer, and one of our extended family members, they're very much into eating organic food. Do we have any organic eaters here? Maybe some of you. And when we were all on vacation together down there and we're filling in the beach house, and everything they brought in was organic. I mean, I think the toilet paper was organic. Everything was organic they were bringing in that house. And of course, that meant that none of the kids were eating it, right? They were eating all the rest of the snacks. But of course, did they just have, no, they were trying to convince everybody that this is the way you should eat, passionately, right? And again, I think there are many benefits to that, but think about political views, same thing. Very passionate about making those things known. This was really convicting for me to say, what do I have a burden for making known to others around me? Question for all of us. Do we have a burden, a zeal for making Christ known to this world around us? There is no other way of salvation. There is no other way that people will be saved except through Jesus Christ. Do we have that in our church here? that burden, that zeal for making Christ known. I think in the church we can very easily become distracted with other things. Some important things, some maybe trivial things that we can get so focused in on, so distracted with, that take us away from this mission, this purpose of blessing, which is to make Christ known to this world around us. Tim Keller said, "True enjoyment of God must lead naturally to mission, to helping others see the beauty you see. God never draws us in except to send us out to serve and to reach others." So, is that your passion? Is that your prayer? That we as individually, but also as a body, would be making Christ known to the nations. I think it's also important for us to realize that if that is our purpose, then that means that we are not here to have a comfortable community. We're not here to have a social club. That's not the purpose for our church. The purpose for our church is to make Christ known. May that have the preeminence in everything that we seek to do here in our church. So we see the prayer for blessing, the purpose of blessing, to make Christ known. And finally, I just want us to see the promise of blessing. In the structure of this psalm, you can see how at the end of the psalm, the psalmist is anticipating the answer to his prayer in verses 1 and 2. He says in verse 6, "The earth has yielded its increase. God, our God, shall bless us. God shall bless us. Let all the ends of the earth fear him." In the Hebrew here, it actually is saying God will go on blessing us. It is an ongoing thing. Well, the question is, how can the psalmist have such certainty? How can he be so sure that God is going to bless his people? I want to point you to a few things here. Number one, because God is a covenant-keeping God. He promised. You go to Deuteronomy 30, verse 16. He said, "If you obey the commandments of the Lord your God that I command you today, by loving the Lord your God, by walking in his ways, and by keeping his commandments and his statutes and rules, then you will live and multiply, and the Lord your God will bless you in the land that you are entering to take possession of it." In Psalm 115, it says, "The Lord has remembered us." He has remembered his covenant. He has remembered his people. He will bless us. He will bless the house of Israel. He will bless the house of Aaron. He will bless those who fear the Lord, both the small and the great. So we can know that God will bless his people because he is a covenant-keeping God. Also, because Jesus said he will build his church and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. So we can be sure that God will bless his people because God will bring in to his kingdom men and women from every kindred and tribe and people and tongue and nation. And the way that he does this, the means by which he accomplishes this, is the church. Again, Spurgeon says, "As showers which first fall upon the hills, afterwards run down in streams into the valleys, so the blessing of the Most High comes upon the world through the church." We kind of read some of that earlier today in our confession, where we know that the church, outside of the church, there is no ordinary possibility of salvation. So we can be sure that as we walk faithfully with God, he will bless his people, he will bless his church, because he is going to bring in all of his people from all around the world into his kingdom. And also, I think we can have this certainty. We can be sure that God will bless us. We can be confident in this because we know that we will ultimately see this in the new heavens and the new earth. In Zechariah, which, as one commentator said, is a picture of the ultimate state of the kingdom of God when God brings his final and future blessings on his people. It says that 10 men from the nations of every tongue will take hold of the robe of a Jew, saying, "Let us go with you, for we have heard that God is with you." Most of that points to the eternal, abiding presence of God in heaven with us for our good. God himself will dwell with us. He will be with his people. He will be with us as our God. Isaiah 2 says that it will come to pass in the latter days that the mountain of the house of the Lord will be established as the highest of the mountains, and will be lifted up above the hills, and all the nations will flow to it. And many peoples will come and say, "Come, let us go up to the mountain, of the Lord, to the house of the God of Jacob, that he may teach us his ways, that we may walk in his paths." So because God is a covenant-keeping God, because he has promised to build his church that the gates of hell will not prevail against us, and because we know that he will ultimately pour out his blessing upon us in the new heavens and the new earth, we can, just like this psalmist wrote here, we can sing with full voice, we can join with him in this confidence that God will bless his people so that all the ends of the earth would fear him, which results in praise and glory to his great name. We are heading into what really is the next chapter of our life here as a church. We have a new senior pastor that is coming on at the beginning of next year, and there may be a temptation to become a little anxious about that, a little nervous. What is the future of the Presbyterian Church of Coventry? Well, I'd encourage us all tonight that we do not have to move forward with fear, with anxiety, because we have this sure promise that if we are walking faithfully with our God, seeking to please him, praying that he would be gracious to us and bless us to make his face shine upon us, he will be with us, and he will bless his people. So may this be our song. May this be the prayer of our hearts, that God would be gracious to us and bless us to make his face shine upon us, that his way may be known on earth, his salvation among the nations, that Christ would be made known, and God will surely bless us. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for the hope we have in Jesus Christ. Lord, we thank you that when we were dead in sins, headed for that eternity apart from you, that you have saved us, that you have paid for our sins, you've atoned for us, accomplished our redemption. And Lord, I thank you for the promise that you will bless your people. And we know, Lord, it's not that we deserve your blessing, but it's because we are in your Son, that you love us, that you delight in your people. And so I pray, Lord, that we would obey you, that we would walk faithfully before you. Lord, that you would keep us in your way. And Lord, that you would prosper the work of your church in this world, that all the ends of the earth would hear, and that they would turn to you in faith, that they would turn away from their idols to serve the living God. We pray that all of the things we do here as a church would be for your glory, for your honor. And we, Lord, we would seek first your kingdom and your righteousness. We pray for this in Jesus' name. Amen.